And we have new speakers up here in our platform that should help people on the front rows. So I think the people up here are going to be able to hear better now. So we're excited for that. It's great to be back with you. I hope you've all had a wonderful summer. I did a lot of writing this summer. I've been working on my second book that will be here sometime in the fall or sometime before Christmas anyway. And many of you know about that because a couple of weeks ago I sent out an email asking your opinion on a title for the book. There were four titles I was considering, and certainly I'd consider others if something was offered that really wowed me. And so I asked the congregation to tell me their favorite of the four titles or to offer any other suggestions. And boy, did I open up a wonderful can of worms with that email. I suppose I was hoping that one title would just be a clear-cut winner. No such luck. I got feedback from about 60 people, and all four titles got first-place votes. Two of the titles started to run away with it at first, but then the other two titles started getting votes. And what's funny is that along with their vote, some people would put comments like, "This is a no-brainer. Go with this one." Then another person would write about another title. "This is the clear-cut winner. Go with that one." Or someone would say, "This is catchier." Another would add, "This one will really sell well." This kept happening over and over, and so now I understand why Burt Baskin and Irv Robbins got the idea of offering 31 flavors of ice cream. Everyone is wired so differently. Everyone has different preferences and perspectives. There were four people who said, "I actually don't like any of the four titles." They don't like ice cream. They prefer yogurt, I guess. I'm really glad that I asked the congregation and experienced this process because the comments got me thinking about some of the pros and cons of each of the four titles. And I decided not to go with either of them. I actually chose a title that someone else came up with, that someone happens to be my mother. And I have to go with mother, you understand. Mama is always right. I don't want to tell you the title now. You'll have to wait a little longer unless you can get it out of mother. I'll give you a clue. The book has to do with wisdom, and the title is somewhat connected to the first book I wrote. That's all you get for now. Anyway, some of you will love the title and some of you will hate the title because that's how we are. We are wired differently and we have different experiences that also shape our opinions and preferences. I remind you of this as we start a new church year. I remind you of this as committees and study groups are about to start back up, as we meet and work together on projects and events, as we play, work, and worship together. Let us remember that we are wired differently, that we have different preferences and perspectives. And we should always treat each other with kindness, compassion, and understanding. We are the model for how the world should work. When I was part of a Bible study with a small group in New York, I had a disagreement with a man in the group a man named Gene. And Gene was a wonderful guy and never had a problem with him before. He was a super nice fella. But there was some issue that came up in our group that I thought I knew I was right on. But Gene didn't see it that way. He saw it totally differently, and I couldn't understand how in the world Gene could think something like that. But then Gene took the time to share why he felt that way. He didn't say what was right or wrong. What he did is that he told his story. He shared his life experience. And after Gene shared his story and experience, I got it. I understood why Gene believed what he believed. And so as we relate to one another, I encourage you to share your story, your experiences, and to listen. Listen to other people's stories and experiences. With the funeral services this weekend of two national heroes, Aretha Franklin and John McCain, clergy should have had no problem finding good material for their sermons this Sunday. Their services were incredibly inspirational, as was their lives. John McCain had recently written a final letter to the people of the United States. In it, he wrote, "We are 325 million opinionated, vociferous individuals. We argue and compete and sometimes even vilify each other in our raucous public debates. But we have always had so much more in common with each other than in disagreement. If only we remember that and give each other the benefit of the presumption that we all love our country, we will get through these challenging times. We will come through them stronger than before. We always do." Then in a carefully orchestrated way, he designed his final services to model how we should relate to one another. In one of his services, he had his friend Joe Biden, a Democrat, deliver a eulogy. The following day, at another service, he had his friend Joe Lieberman, a Jew, deliver a eulogy. And then for yesterday's concluding service at the National Cathedral in Washington, McCain had called former presidents Bush and Obama back in April to ask them to eulogize him. He called upon his two opponents that beat him in his two presidential bids for the White House and asked them to eulogize him. That's remarkable. At this time when so many of our nation's leaders have lost a sense of ethics and decency, McCain is still trying to help his country. Still serving his country, still showing us the way, even in death. The Apostle Paul kept trying to do the same thing for the church. Like most communities made up of human beings, the early church was not immune to arguments and divisions. And so from a prison cell before his execution, Paul often wrote the early Christians, encouraging them to love one another. And many scholars believe it is some of Paul's disciples who wrote the book, the words in Ephesians to those who call themselves Christians. They wrote, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building each other up. As there is need so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. So it's not just about making sure we don't say anything negative about someone else. It's not just about making sure we don't tear anyone down. It's also about being proactive. It's about building each other up. It's about believing in others, seeing the best in them, seeing God in them. For we are all children of God. And it's helping people to believe in themselves. Helping them to realize they are a child of God. That's what we are called to do as Christians, because God does the same for us. God loves us. God forgives us. God believes in us. There's an old story I love. An old story about an outcast beggar who was sitting across the street from the studio of an artist. The artist happened to see the beggar and quickly started to paint his portrait. When it was finished, he called the beggar over to come look at it. At first, the beggar did not recognize himself. "Who is it?" he kept asking. "Who is it?" The artist smiled and said nothing. The beggar kept looking at the portrait until recognition began to dawn. Hesitantly, he asked, "Is it I? Can it be me?" And the artist replied, "That is the man I see in you." And the beggar said, "If that is the man you see, then that is the man I will be." At this creative arts church we call Asbury Memorial, we are called to be artists, called to see the best in one another, just as God, the master artist, sees the best in us. Amen and amen.